Thank you for calling Eagle Moss. My name is Miles. How may I help you today?
Hey, Miles, I was just transferred to you from the regular phone line. Hopefully, this is the correct place. Can I get the tracking number for the status? I know you probably don't have my account up, but that's what I'm looking for, is the tracking number for my shipment that's out.
If there is a tracking number that is available, sure.
Yeah.
So
She said your shipment's on the way, and then she had to transfer me to someone else to get the tracking number.
okay, then okay.
Do you have my name and number or anything up there?
I have your account pulled up for your Enterprise D build up. I was able to pull it up with the phone number that came up on caller ID. You have
Okay, thank
two
you.
shipments that were recently sent to the warehouse for fulfillment. First, we'll take a look at your build-up kits, and then we'll take a look at the special shipment. So, can you confirm the name
Special shipment I
associated?
received.
Oh, good deal. Can you
Special
confirm?
shipment I received today.
Oh, wow, very cool.
John Stark is the day, the night name.
And the address?
1200 Windy Lane, Pahrump, Nevada 89048.
And then the email address.
Zaraz@yahoo.com.
Thank you. And I'm pulling up the notes on the account to see if there is any tracking information available for the shipment of the build-up kits. And the notes are still loading. Okay, let's see here. And there is no tracking information available for the most recent shipment of build-up kits.
Okay. So this has happened before. I was charged on the second for the most recent buildup, and 2 weeks later, nothing. Usually it's like a week or maybe even that Friday, you know, like I'll be charged on Monday and I'll get tracking information Friday. And then it's there by 11, by Wednesday. This time there's nothing. I've had this happen last year a couple of different times based on shipping purposes. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe you know.
Yeah, I do. We just settled in at a new warehouse, and their computer system isn't communicating properly with our computer systems or with our internal database. So we're not getting some of the tracking information when orders are actually shipping out. And when we do get it, sometimes it's after the package has already even or been delivered to the customer.
Yeah,
So
that's what the previous lady had mentioned. She said there's been tracking that, you know, they didn't even know they were getting something, you know, some people. And I'm well aware of this, and I'm trying to let me see. I didn't know about this current thing, but you know, it just because of shipping and stuff like that. Where's the new warehouse? Is it closer to me, or
I don't
I don't know where
know.
y'all are, but I'm in Nevada.
We've yet to been we have yet to be provided with the address of the new warehouse location. The old fulfillment
Oh,
facility
wow.
was in Jeffersonville, Indiana, but
Yeah.
for whatever reason, we don't have any information available to us pertaining to the address of the new fulfillment warehouse. Facility, which is,
you know, what part of the country it might be in?
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, based on this information you have, is it possible that I'll still get my charge for the next shipment? Not the one that's currently in status, but when is that, the charge for the next shipment? But that should be due any time now.
Oh, yeah, let's see here.
I'm every 2 weeks. I'm every 2 weeks, so.
The 16th.
So it is still on track for the 16th to come in.
Yes, sir. Your next billing date is currently scheduled for the 16th.
And I can't tell on my phone if it's been off, or, I mean, if it's going to fall off or not. The I'm referring to the EMC buildup,
the charge?
$65 charge.
It's not going to fall off.
Has that been, huh?
It's not going to fall
what
off.
Was that?
Okay, so in the past,
well,
in the past,
it had in the past, they pre-authorized.
Right, in the past, it would be whenever the order was sent to the warehouse, it would be a pre-authorization. You know, basically just like you know, an electronic communication to your financial institution. Hey, are these funds available to cover the shipment? Yes. Okay, we send it to the warehouse. Now, the new process is that whenever the order is sent to the warehouse, the charge occurs, the actual charge. There's no pre-authorization. It's just the charge for that shipment occurs when the order is sent to be fulfilled at the warehouse. So then, and hopefully this would never, ever be a scenario, but if it were to take, I don't know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks for something to ship out from the warehouse, well, then you just have, I mean, you've already been charged for it. You just wait. You know, hopefully that'll not be the case, because that was the point
right.
of moving warehouses was to improve, you know, issues such as that, to improve the customer experience, so we wouldn't have those types of issues that we were facing in the past that many customers were
right.
upset about.
Right. We're currently, I mean, y'all are currently losing customers left and right. I mean, I can see that online, all the disgust and the anger, even overseas and stuff. It's not like it's, you know, I don't know why we're all having to wait for wherever these are coming from originally, but, you know.
Global supply
chain
issues.
Like,
right,
but if you're, I can understand we're on the United States side, you know, we get everything from another country. But what about the people in England? You know what I mean? They don't have very far to travel.
Right. So I don't know what, I mean, I don't know how the inventory gets over there. I don't know if it would go by cargo ship as well, or if it goes by truck. I imagine it probably does. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Cause that's a long ship ride either way. But I wish I could find the picture that I had recently seen of the ports off the coast of China. For every single cargo ship that was at port, it was one dot of color. And because there were so many ships, you know, and talking about one dot of color per ship, because there were so many ships, these are ships either in port or waiting to port. It looked like its own multicolored island, like a big blob
yeah.
of.
Yeah,
like
I've actually seen a picture like that.
Yeah, a big blob yeah. of just colors of different, and it's just all these different ships that are either in port or they're waiting for their turn to come into port to either load their ships from where they've already been and offloaded what they had, or to come back and unload what they have. So, you know, why I don't understand what the problem is. You know, I really don't understand what the problem is. I'm 40 years old. It's never been like this before up until the past couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, so for 38 years of my life, you probably have more years on your life than me. So through all of these years of our life, everything's been smooth sailing. You know, maybe there was a hiccup here and there, never anything like this. Now all of a sudden,
oh well,
You know,
when you get pandemic and then all of a sudden things like this happen, it's ridiculous.
It's not,
and the other thing is, you know, oil, it does not need to be going up. There's no reason oil goes up. We don't even buy enough oil from China or, Russia to be able to sustain anything. We could cut off from China and Russia. We could cut off from the whole place overseas and still have enough oil for everybody to pay, maybe $1 or $2 a gallon of gas. You know, there's no reason for this $4.50 and $4.80 and $5 and wherever you are.
I agree.
California, it's at $5.75.
I agree with that 1,000,000%. That's just price gouging on the part of the oil barons to get more money out of the consumers. I agree with that.
Actually, now, they're blaming the Democrats for it, but, you know, there's people who want to stand their ground on certain things. Now, granted, I don't agree with what they're doing, but the point is that, you know, they want to stand their ground. They want to go to green energy. So let's cut off all supplies of oil. Well, you know, that may not be a good idea. You know,
that's not
killing all the chickens in the hen house to stop the wolves from coming in. Well, that's just a stupid idea. I mean, if you want chickens, have chickens.
Exactly.
But deal with the fact that there's going to be wolves. You know,
yes,
make a
sir.
Bigger fence. You know, put more supply out there so that we're not suffering, you know, and paying 10 times the amount that we actually need to be paying.
That's
ridiculous.
Right.
Food is horrible, too, because of the gas prices. Oh, and everything's blamed on gas this and gas that. And, you know, it just, I don't know.
The cost of transport goes up. So then the cost of the merchandise that has to be transported goes up because the company selling said merchandise, you know, has to pay higher costs to transfer the merchandise to be transported. But thankfully, for whatever it is that I've been buying, the prices haven't, you know, gone up, you know, too terribly much. But the gas issue is that's just absurd. There's no reason for it. And then this whole, if anybody thinks that we can just go green and get away from using internal combustion engines that run off of petroleum or oil, you know, have oil and gas, et cetera, they're an idiot. And anyone who thinks that they're going to save the world.
They want to make it happen.
But anybody who thinks they're going to save
the
world.
They want to make it happen.
Well, then how are we going to produce all of the electricity? Are they going to start building more nuclear power plants? Are we going to start looking into, are we actually going to do the smartest and the most intelligent thing, which would be to actually start producing geothermal energy and start harvesting energy from using all of the available resources. We can use solar, we can use wind, we can use water. I mean, we can use wave energy. We can use the energy from the tides or the
Tesla proved that you could use the atmosphere, the power around you in order to produce power. But he was quickly shot down because look into Tesla.
Oh,
I'm
a big fan. I'm a
free
big fan.
Wi-Fi. And I mean, you could just that alone could sustain the world for another 100,000 years
because the
energy doesn't dissipate.
You're absolutely right.
It doesn't
right.
dissipate, but nobody wants to do that. God forbid we want to do anything intelligent. No, we want to do things to upset people like you and me so that we have something to complain about all the time.
Well, everything has to be monetized so someone can, you know, make a profit off of us.
Why?
My question, why? The only thing that I can think that would make any sense for the monetization would be to pay for the upkeep of the utility service. So, you know, at first, you know, the power company would need some upkeep, you know, for the upkeep of the generators or whatever they use to make the power, and then to install all of the power lines and things like that, get them run to all the homes. Okay, cool. So they make all their money there. They've covered their cost there. And then just for the upkeep, okay, so then maybe don't charge us, you know, outrageous prices on our power bill. Charge lower prices because you're making, you know, just where I live alone, there's probably 400,000 people. So if out of those 400,000, if you have at least 300,000 of those paying a power bill, well, then that, you know, if everybody pays $50 a month, then, you know, that's that's a lot of money. I don't know the math off the top of my head, because that's a lot. That should be enough money for the upkeep, pay the employees, pay their bills.
$300,000 is $150 million. Okay,
I was thinking, and I didn't want to quote the wrong number.
Yeah, $150 million if it's $400,000 plus, you know, $50. So, you know, you're making $150 million a year.
No, a month.
On just
Yeah, because you remember, we're billed monthly.
That's a month.
Month.
Yeah, I mean, it's astronomical.
It is. That's over $1 billion a year.
That's right.
You know, so it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, for them to charge the exorbitant or the high cost that they charge for something that shouldn't cost as much as they're charging for it. That's just like when the gas company so the power company raises rates during the summertime, and then they lower the rates in the wintertime, but the gas company raises the rates for natural gas in the wintertime and then lowers the rates during the warmer, like spring and summertime. Because I know more people are going to use their natural gas heaters in the winter, so they can make that money. But in spring and summer, okay, we'll give you a break. You know, you're not using as much gas, so we're going to lower the rates. That's just crooked, if you ask me. Should just be a flat rate.
Yeah,
but anybody who thinks they're going to save the world by reducing carbon emissions, either be, you know, from coal power plants or, you know, from internal combustion engine vehicles and things like that, that's just dumb. Because a mega or super volcano could explode. Or erupt, I should say. One volcanic eruption is going to produce more emissions into the atmosphere than mankind and any animal who's ever lived on this planet, in the history of the planet, has ever produced. And that's just one volcanic eruption. One volcanic eruption outdoes everything that we've ever done. So even if we completely stop doing anything that we're doing, there's no telling when the Earth is just going to say, I need to get rid of all this lava. There goes... there goes climate change. You know, it's going to, you know, that's why the Earth has gone. I mean, back before there was electricity, before there was gasoline or cars or any of that, what did the Earth have? It had ice ages. And then the ice ages went away. You know, the ice melted. Then it had a warming period. Oh, but wait, then it had another ice age. Oh, but wait, then that ice receded and we had another warming period. Why? Because the Earth is a living, breathing planet. It's a living planet. It's like an organism itself. And we really don't have that too terribly much control over, actually, you know, what it's going to do. It's going to do its thing regardless, you know. So I think all these politicians and everybody who wants to make a big deal like, oh, yeah, everybody getting not everybody's going to get an electric car. That's not – And then they get their way. Okay, they got their way. Now every single individual has an electric car. Okay, how are we going to provide enough electricity so that everybody can charge their charge their electric car at night? Everybody. Because now we don't have internal combustion engine vehicles anymore. Now everybody at night has to plug in their car. And in a lot of places, the power grid is already strained enough just, you know, in the summertime when everybody's using their air conditioners. But let's add on to that. And we're going to plug in electric vehicles too, so we can all charge our car. Yeah. It's a pipe dream.
Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's you said global warming, right? And that has a lot to do with, first of all, they don't even know what global warming technically is. People are throwing these things out and they don't even know what it is. Global warming is not the fact that the entire Earth is going to heat up. What global warming is more referring to is the North Pole melting. If the North Pole melts, all of its ice, okay, and it's getting close. But if all the ice in just the North or South Pole melted, there would be at least another 200 feet of water displaced. I mean, it would spread out. The water would be therefore contained. You need to be so half the country would disappear underwater. Okay, so that's a bad idea. But global warming doesn't mean that everywhere in the world will be, you know, 200 degrees. Global warming refers to the fact that the north slash south is getting hotter. And those elements are causing the shift of the, because there is shifts. There's hot areas and cold areas. Well, if you put all the hot area on the north, then where's the cold areas going to be? In the middle. So the equator could go down to minus 20 degrees, where it's never been in the history of the world, at least as far as a lot of people know. It's gotten close, but it's never been really below zero. And yet, you know, people are saying global warming. Well, you know, if there's snow on the mountains every winter, that doesn't mean that global warming's coming. That doesn't mean that global warming isn't coming. What that means is that the world is just doing its thing.
That's right.
You know, so what if we have 7 years of 115 degrees? You know, that's just the way it is. You know,
that's right.
That's just the way the world does its thing. And then, you know, like you said, eventually it may get so hot in the north or wherever that, you know, for a minute. And then it'll come back. It comes back eventually when it gets ready to.
It absolutely will.
You know, I mean, these people who are making big deals of things, you know, first of all, we need to get rid of Congress completely. Get all those idiots out of there that don't know what they're doing, that have, you know, now you said your age. I'm 58 years old. I've been around a minute longer. But it's all the same. You know, Reagan had this stupid idea when I was 18 to take all of the Social Security funding. This is why Social Security is in the mess that it is today, even, is because he took all the Social Security money and he said, let's pay the national debt. Let's pay off China so that we don't owe them anymore or as much as we can. And they did that. Congress said, okay. A bunch of old people decided to take all of the retirement money that they don't get, because politicians get $200,000 to $500,000 a year for life.
That's right.
Okay, even after they leave. So, I mean, they got nothing to worry about. But the little man down the aisle down here, not even the low ones, but the middle people, they're trying to struggle, trying to keep the economy and people fed, you know.
That's right.
And then, so they don't have to worry about their retirement, you know. And so they did that. And so then when, I don't remember who it was, but they started, it was right around Clinton's time too, they started borrowing again from China. And they borrowed 14 times more than they borrowed just to start with. I think when Reagan was president, it wasn't more than $300 trillion or $300 million or billion, something like that. It was a low number.
Yes, sir.
We're up to almost $20 billion or $20 trillion that we owe China today. Yes, a lot of it has to do with Obama, but still, you know, what did Trump do? You know, Trump agreed to let, during the pandemic, causing a big issue there, we won't get into that, but causing the government to go ahead and pay people to stay home, which therefore turned around and became a bad thing, which a lot of people knew would. Now people don't want to go to work because, hey, the government's going to pay me to sit home, you know, more money than it would if I work. So a lot of people are like that today. They don't want to work because the government will just pay me, you know.
Oh, yeah,
when I was getting that money, I got laid off during that time. When I was getting that money, I liked it at first. But then after about 6 months, I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, I'm just sitting at home. I'm just doing nothing. I've got this money. I'll build a porch. And I built a porch and a shed just with the money they gave me. I mean, I had enough money to pay my bills too. But I didn't have to work all day, you know, at a job where I was struggling and making only a little tiny bit to just get by. Here, the government's giving us a buku dollars to sit at home. Then I turned around and I was like, I got to get a job. So as soon as the doors opened where we could get out again, because Nevada, they locked us down pretty good, California and Nevada. So when we were able to get out again, I immediately went and we had a Circle K over here that was just coming up. And I jumped on board. And granted, I only make a few $100 a week, but still, that's much better money for me. I feel much better about having that money than I do the money that the government just says, here. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Even if it is double.
Absolutely, because you actually earn that money, and you do something. You know, you actually have do work to earn that money, and that's much more respectable than just getting handouts.
Right.
But as far as the debt,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, as far as the debt goes, I mean, like say for example, like right now, let's see, U.S. debt clock. Let's see. So the real time national debt, we're at $30,444,893,000,000 of debt. That's the national debt.
Right.
So what does that say?
Yeah.
That says that money is basically, it's not an issue anymore, because you can't, like, if you or I owed $100 to our credit card company and never paid them, are they going to give us any more money? No. But does the government continue to get? But the government continues to get money from the Fed. That's not a problem. So so for as far as it goes for the United States and debt, I mean, you might as well just take the money and just say, we need this much money. We have this much money because we're just going to create it out of thin air, because that's what they do.
Right.
They create the money out of thin air,
right,
and then use it for whatever necessary purpose that would be beneficial to the American citizens, to help everyone out, and then just not worry, because obviously they're not worried about the debt anyway. So in regards to Social Security, if they calculate your Social Security based on a certain amount, or maybe they could just say, if you're at this age, we're going to give you this much money to live on, and that's what you get. We're not worried about, how much money you put into the system while you were alive, even though I think that's, it's better that, I feel more, that's more respectable that, because I've worked since I was about 15 years old, and I've only been without a job for maybe 6 to 9 months between the time I was 15 and now I'm 40. So, I'm really, hoping that when I become retirement age, I'm going to actually have some, something to live off of, in regards to Social Security, if that still even exists.
Right.
But if they did have a system where they just said, look, we're just going to give you $3,000 a month if you're elderly, at 65, they've already upped the retirement age, so you can't retire at 65 anyway, or you could, but you'd receive less benefits, I think. But if, once you're 65, they should just say, okay, look, if you want to retire, we'll give you $3,000 a month until you die, and just call it done. Don't worry about it. And then
not charge you for Medicare or Medicaid or any medical services, because you've worked all your life. Here's the other thing. Medicaid. I have Medicaid, okay, because my wife is disabled, so I don't get lumped in, but I'm kind of tagged on, okay,
yes, sir.
For now. But she just now told me, the lady at the welfare office just now told me that she says once the pandemic's over, they're going to reevaluate everybody, so just be prepared to not be accepted. And I was like, that's fine. But since I've been hooked up with them for the minute, the point is that I still work, yet I don't have to pay a dime hardly when I go to get anything. I can go to the doctor's office and not pay a premium or not pay a copay or not pay anything. Yet these elderly people who have worked all their life, put all this money into these services and stuff, forcibly, by the way, and then turn around and, oh, by the way, you're old. Yeah, we need $50. We need $100 to just be seen. And then if it's anything special or a surgery, which they always need, then they get more money from the person, not just Medicare.
That's right.
In their case.
That's right.
And that's so stupid. I would flip that. I would completely flip that.
Oh, I would absolutely do that as well. I would have universal health care for all American citizens. If you need health care, that would be paid for. Because, we're just playing with monopoly money anyway. It's all fake. It doesn't mean anything. when you have $30 trillion of debt, you can't say that your money is, that is a big deal to just, you know, create even more debt, because it's, you're never going to pay it off. The U.S., we can't pay off the debt. Right. We're never going to pay it. So you might as well pay for it, you know, pay for the citizens to be as healthy as possible. And then also pay for the, if the citizens want to go out and get an education, they want to go to college, pay for that too. Make sure your citizens are as intelligent and as healthy as possible, because then they can be more productive and more, you know, and have better jobs and contribute more to society than the world that we live in, than the America that we live in today, where everyone has to be, you know, struggle to get by. And if they get sick or they get injured, then, you know, they can't contribute because they can't get the medical help they need. And if they do get the medical help they do need, then they're stuck with all of those medical bills and, you know, a lifetime or possibly years of medical debt that they're constantly, and they're just struggling. And so that causes them to even be less able to help contribute to society, which if the government would at least pay for our education and our health care, then at least, and, you know, basically, if you have horses and you, or if you have cows or you're a farmer, you take care of your animals, of your livestock, you know, because that's what you rely on for your well-being and for you to make a living. You have to keep these animals healthy. Well, if the government wants to stay healthy, they need to keep their livestock, us citizens, they need to keep us healthy. At the very least, you know, if they say, okay, well, not education, you know, that, you know, the colleges charge too much money, we can't pay for that. But, you know, I did hear there's a plan to erase student debt, which I think is laughable, because then, you know, what are you going to, I mean, if you're just going to take all this money these people owe, they agreed to pay this money, which they shouldn't have even be allowed to agree to pay for anyway. But, you know, because you're like 18 or years old, 18 to 21, and you're agreeing to a $160,000 loan so you can go to school. But if you're 18 to 21 and you want to go out and say, oh, well, I want to buy a house or I want to buy a car, oh, well, let's check your credit score, Mr. Johnson. What's your credit score? Blah, blah, blah. How's your credit history? But they'll give you that loan to go to school, you know, real quick, you know, and so they'll get you signed on to that student debt real fast. That's not a problem, you know. Sure, yeah, we'll give you this money, the money that doesn't exist. I mean, obviously it does exist from some really wealthy companies that have it to give, but it's all fake money to begin with, if you ask me. It's all fake, and then they want to cancel student debt. That just goes to even further to prove that it's fake money. They're just dealing with fake money, or just erase it. Well, how are those companies going to get paid? Don't they care? Aren't they going to step up and put their lobbyist in Congress, which is another thing that should be illegal, for there to even be the existence of anyone who's called a lobbyist, who can just go in and, you know, oh, I'll take this congressman out to dinner, or take him on vacation, or shove some money in his pocket, or buy him gifts if he'll just vote the right way that I want him to vote, that we want him to vote. That's crooked politics. But most importantly, the government needs to take care of their livestock, keep us healthy at the very least, give us universal health care, and don't stress us about, you know, the cost of that health care. You want some money from us? Okay, maybe, you know, very low cost, you know, $10, $20, $50 at the most.
Maybe you should try to be governor of your state.
I wish I could be the president for at least a little while. So I could make some changes, but I couldn't do that by myself. Though the thing about it is, because there's three branches of government, and I wouldn't be able to just executive order everything that I want. So that wouldn't work anyway. Even if I was president,
why not? Nobody, Trump did.
He did a lot, and I think some of the things he did, I think he had some good ideas, and I think he had some good intentions and some good feelings towards the people. He said a lot of dumb things, and some of the things he did were dumb. But I don't necessarily agree with any, you know, you can never agree with everything that everyone does. So, you know,
just like what we're saying, you know, with, you know, oil right now is at $64 a barrel. Okay. Dollar to ratio for oil, $64.47 a barrel. Now that means that it's probably in the $100 range per barrel from overseas. Yet, It's ridiculous that we're paying $5 in gas or more, wherever your state is. You know, California and New York are probably the highest, you know, and it's ridiculous that you know, the place I'm at, it's 460, 456 or something like that. You know, that's stupid.
Oh, it is. Yes, we pay about $3.80 a gallon here. So you're just a little bit higher than we are.
Midwest.
But I mean, why does it have to be a different price for you than it does for me? Why? What's the difference? The same
I
gas.
I have no idea.
You know, it's ridiculous. It makes zero sense. Why, when I was a kid first driving a car, I remember looking at the gas station at the sign, and it's, well, you probably remember it when it was like 67 or 70 cents or 75 cents. I remember it.
50 cents.
Yeah, 50 cents. See, when I remember, the lowest I remember was like, I think 89 cents a gallon when I was like 15 or 16-ish, you know, like, yeah. 89 cents
when
a gallon.
When I was 16, I went and bought a pack of cigarettes, and I happened to look up at the gas, and I go, wow, I could buy a pack of cigarettes or a gallon of gas for 50 cents. That is cool. And I never forgot that. You know, look at cigarettes. Cigarettes, and I mean, people don't need to smoke anyway. I mean, I'm not a smoker anymore, and I'm glad I'm not. But I work at Circle K, and cigarettes now are up to $10 a pack where I live or in my area, depending on where you go.
Oh, yes,
sir. You know, at our store, it's like some of them are $10 a pack. Some of them in other states, New York, I hear that one pack is like $20+ after tax.
It's
one
ridiculous.
Pack.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
It is. But I hope I don't support the fact that the cigarette costs are so high, because I believe that, you know, if that's what someone wants to do.
By the time you showed up.
You know, if that's what someone wants to do, let them do it. You know, if it's not, they're only hurting themselves and they're not hurting anyone else. Okay, fine, whatever, you know. But because I used to smoke. I smoked for about, 23 years-ish. And then I started vaping to quit smoking, and I've been vaping ever since and haven't picked up a cigarette, you know, so in about 3 years, I haven't smoked one cigarette.
Yeah.
And the vaping is 90.
I stopped in 19.
I go ahead. You stopped in.
Good. I stopped in 1998 smoking, and we didn't have anything called vaping or e-cigarettes or nothing. It was either you quit or you quit. You know, I mean, that was it.
I think you probably still had the option
of
like the
1988.
Yeah, I think you might
have
had the option
of
like the Nicorette gum or the patch or something.
Yeah, maybe. But
maybe.
Yeah, I never tried any of that. I just put them down one day.
That's good that you had the willpower, you know, and the strength to be able to do that. At least with the vaping, you still get, you know, the satisfaction. You know, it's kind of like smoking, but it's not, and it's at least scientifically proven by the Royal College of Physicians in the UK and England. You know, it's at least 95% safer than smoking combustible tobacco products. And that's coming from a medical organization that's been around for over 500 years. So I trust their, I trust their science. So if they say it's at least 95% safer, then I feel comfortable. And, you know, I vape a low milligram nicotine e-juice or e-liquid, and it works for me. It keeps me off of cigarettes and I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. At least your clothes don't stink, right?
They don't. No, they don't. In fact, there's a funny joke where it's like, you know, so, you know, oftentimes I think that, you know, I'm going to turn the corner and there's going to be brownies or cookies or cotton candy. But no, when I turn the corner, it's just Doug and his cloud of lies. You know, because the vape juice, you know, they have all the different flavors, you know, and they smell like, you know, stuff like that, you know, like cotton candy or cookies or brownies or strawberries or, you know, all the different, whatever you can think of that's, you know, they probably have an e-juice that is that flavor. So it's actually more tasty and it doesn't stink at all whatsoever. And it's more, it's not at least 95%. Less harmful. I think I said safer before. I want to retract the word safer, less harmful than smoking tobacco. That's why in the UK, they actually push people to use vaping as a smoking alternative if, you know, for smoking cessation. And they actually have, there's a couple of vape shops that actually exist in hospitals in the UK. And that's to help people with smoking cessation, which the government in the UK has to pay they pay for the health care for the citizens, as far as I understand. So you got to think about it from the government side of things too. If they're paying for the health care of the citizens, and so, you know, if you know, Bobby Wilson gets cancer and the government has to pay for his cancer treatments, well, that's terrible. But if he would have switched from smoking cigarettes to vaping and never got the cancer, then the government wouldn't have had to come off of all of that money to pay for those cancer treatments to keep him alive. So it's smart for right. them to promote a less harmful alternative to, you know, because that prevents them from having to use all of that tax revenue to go towards paying for all these medical costs, when they can put that towards other things that might be more important or more necessary, which would be smarter for the United yeah. States government. In fact, in the United States government, and we probably should wrap this up pretty soon, but it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Yeah. But like in the United States government, now I don't smoke marijuana. Okay. I say that I'm an honest person. I don't smoke marijuana, but I still think that due to the overwhelming demand from people that would like for it to be legalized, and the fact that it's less intoxicating than alcohol. It's less, cause you know, another joke or saying would be that you're going to see people who get drunk are going to end up, a lot of times they'll often end up getting angry and getting into a fight. Someone people who sit around and smoke pot might end up in the drive-thru at McDonald's buying milkshakes or hamburgers. They're certainly not going to be fighting with one another, you know, but alcohol, you know, you could run out to Circle K and buy alcohol. And that's just at the gas station. Yep. You can get it just 5 minutes. There's a gas station at least 5 minutes from everybody's house, unless you live out in the middle of nowhere. So you can go out and get your alcohol anytime you want. But marijuana, oh, no. We can't legalize that in 34 of the 50 or 33 of the 50 states. Oh, no. Well, if the government legalized marijuana and then they taxed it, that'd be an extreme amount of revenue that would be coming into the government from just the tax dollars that they would make off selling or from other companies doing all the work to grow and then do everything they need to do to package and sell the marijuana, however they sell it, where they want to put it in edibles or they want to make joints or whatever they do, you know, cigars or whatever they want to do with it, like cigarettes. You know, they could charge right. They could charge however much, you know, per pack or per whatever, and then put a tax on it of however much, and all that money can go into the state government, and then a portion of it could go to the federal government, and the government could make billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars, just, you know, I bet they would if they would just legalize it. But no, we got to keep the criminal institutions, you know, that organization or that whole business side of things, because they, you know, they got to keep the penitentiaries and everything. That's a very profitable venture for a lot of very rich, influential people who pull the strings of the government or put money in the government's pocket. And that's a large part of the reason why, you know, they don't just go ahead and just legalize it everywhere, because they make too much money off of the prison system. Because they get so much money, the prisons get so much money per day for the inmates, and they probably spend, you know, they might spend $3 or so or less a day on the inmate, that they're making a profit of, you know, $30+ a day for that inmate. So that's too profitable.
Right.
You know, the whole prison system is too profitable to stop arresting people for something petty like a little bit of possession of a little bit of marijuana and putting them in prison, rather than, you know, allowing that person to go out and be a productive member of society. He can sit at home and smoke his pot and then go to work the next day. And what are they going to do to his paycheck? They're going to take out state tax and they're going to take out federal income tax. And then after they've taken out their money and he's gotten his money, what is he going to do with it? He's going to turn around and go out and buy things with his money, which is going to help the economy. And every time he buys something, he's going to pay taxes on whatever he buys, which is again going to go back towards helping the state, you know, with their revenue and helping the economy. But no, let's put him in jail and say you can't work because the prison needs to the prison system needs to make money off of you sitting in jail, even though you wouldn't harm a fly, or maybe you would harm a fly because, you know, flies are annoying. We got to get rid of those. We can't let them just breed everywhere. But you wouldn't harm another individual. You wouldn't harm another individual, but you may be one of the most productive members of our society, and you just happen to enjoy smoking pot. Oh, I found a little bit in your car. Let me put handcuffs on you. You're going to jail, buddy. It's terrible, man. That's just terrible. Some of the best and brightest people have ended up in prison for extremely long periods of time and may still even be there over the use of a little bit of marijuana. And then you've got but they allow it to be something that can be in movies and on TV and everywhere. We can we can popularize it through Hollywood and media. You know, you can have your Cheech and Chong films and all of these things, and you can watch, you know, all these shows about people smoking marijuana, and it's so funny and ha ha ha. But if the normal everyday Joe gets caught with a little bit of marijuana in the wrong state, oh, buddy, nope, that's going to change your life, and it could potentially change your life forever based on, you know, okay, so you went to jail, then you get out, then you go try to get a job. Let's look at your criminal history. Oh, we see you have a record. You've been to jail for possession of narcotics. Oh, buddy, well, we can't hire you, sir. We don't deal with people who use narcotics.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I understand. Government needs to be revamped completely.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that definitely
anyway,
need
yes,
to be
it has
changed.
Been, yes, it has been nice talking to you. I appreciate you helping me with that issue, and hopefully then it's one of those ones that just happens to show up one day
within
the next few days.
It should. It'll either show up or you'll eventually get some tracking information, you know, so you'll be able to track it. But I think it's just going to show up. The warehouse is, I think they're... Another thing that I'm thinking about the new warehouse, and this is not a bad thing to say at all, I don't think, is that they're going through some growing pains, is what I think it is too. You know, because this is a new warehouse that we've settled into. They're not I don't know if they have been in the business of fulfilling as orders for companies as big as Eagle Moss. I don't know if they're used to it, having to fulfill the hundreds or thousands of orders that Eagle Moss has going out, you know, on a daily basis. So I think they're going through a little bit of growing pains as well. But it's all hurdles that are going to be hopefully be overcome in the not too very distant future, because the whole entire goal of moving to the new warehouse, because, you know, that was a very expensive venture for corporate. You know, that wasn't just, you know, play money. You know, this is not, now we're not talking about the Monopoly money anymore. Now we're talking about Eagle Moss's money. That wasn't play money, you know, and it costs a lot of money. Like I give this example to people. Go to your local Super Walmart, walk in the door, and then see everything that you see. Now think about loading all of that onto trucks and moving it to another Super Walmart location and then stocking it there. And then beginning to take that inventory and pack and fill and mail and start mailing it out. And that's what's happened with the new warehouse, basically. If they're having to go through that type of a process, you know, going through that much inventory, they've had to inventory it, and now they're getting it all shipped out. And I just think that they're just going through a little bit of growing pains. But once they start getting in the routine, they get accustomed to things, they're going to get a lot. Things are going to get a lot better for our customers. And our IT team is working on the issue with the tracking where the systems aren't communicating correctly. The IT team is on it. They're working on it. So hopefully that issue is going to be resolved very soon. And everything is going to be a much better experience for our customers than when we were at the old warehouse.
Right. Okay. Well, now, are you removing the old warehouse then, just leaving it, or is it something that is going to continue in addition?
No, as far as I know, the old warehouse is done. That's it. The end. Goodbye. You didn't do a good job for us, so we're done with you. That's what the intention was that we had a contract with you and you were supposed to do a good job for us. You didn't do a good job for us, so we found another warehouse who agreed to the contract that they would be able to fulfill our orders and get them mailed out without any issues. And so they signed their, that's a, another big dollar venture right there, signing that contract. And this is all serious business for Eagle Moss. And see, a lot of people that are very upset, you know, right. Oh, well, you know, I haven't got my shipment. I'm not getting any tracking, you know, and a lot of people, like, you haven't been upset. You've been extremely nice and very polite, and it's been awesome helping you and also having our conversation. But then some people call in and they're like, they're really mad. And, you know, you deal with different types of people every day. So, you know, they're different strokes, different folks. So some people have higher tempers or, you know, they get more upset easily. So we get all from every end of the spectrum, from the, you know, nicest, most polite, to the middle, to the most angry you can get. And then when they're the most angry that you can get, then I just do my best to try to explain to them all the things that I'm telling you now. You know, the warehouse is going through growing pains. You know, don't think that this is anything that Eagle Moss isn't taking seriously. Just like you said, Eagle Moss is losing a bunch of customers. Why? Because those customers are very upset. Why? Because their orders aren't getting to them out correctly. Why are they leaving Eagle Moss? Because they think it's a failure on the part of Eagle Moss. Is it a failure on the part of Eagle Moss? I don't necessarily think it's 100% a failure of Eagle Moss. I think that Eagle Moss is trying to do the right thing. It's like if you told, it's like if you hired a company to come out and, I don't know, the first thing that came into my head, oh, how about this? You hired a mechanic to fix your car. You talked to the mechanic. He said, yeah, man, I've got 25 years of experience. I've worked on this type of car, you know, hundreds of times. I'm a professional. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to get you back on the road. It's not going to be a problem. Not a problem, sir. I'll get you taken care of. Say you went out and you paid this mechanic $3,000 to fix your car. You got your car back. Now it's running even worse than it was before. But that guy told you that everything was, that he was, you know, had all this experience, master mechanic, blah, blah, blah. So you take it back to the mechanic. Look, man, I need you to fix my car. This is still messed up. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'll take it over and make sure it gets fixed right. He goes over it again. You get it back. Man, it's a little bit better. It's still not running the way that it should for the $3,000 that you paid. You take it back. So I think that's what Eagle Moss is running into. They're trying really hard to fix the issue. They're trying really hard to do everything they can to try to keep the customers as happy as possible. Because, you know, what I tell customers is you are the most important. You're more important than me. You're more important than Eagle Moss. You're more important than the company I work for. And the reason I'm comfortable telling you that and saying that on a recorded line is because at the end of the day, if there's no pennies coming into Eagle Moss, there's no way to pay me. There's no way to pay to have a warehouse or inventory or any of that. There would be no Eagle Moss if it weren't for the customer. So the customer is the most important. At the end of the day, the customer is the most important. So for us to lose customers, you know, corporate's not happy about that. Corporate's not just like, oh, well, too bad. If they're not happy with what we're doing, then that's just tough titty. They can deal with it and they can go somewhere else. We don't care. No. Corporate cares. Corporate cares a lot. Corporate also knows the power of social media. They know that any of these customers that are angry can get on social media and voice their opinions. And other people who haven't been a customer of Eagle Moss but might have been thinking about it, they may say, oh, well, you know, I saw some cool Star Trek starships on Eagle Moss's website and I thought about ordering it, but I'm not going to now because Joe said Eagle Moss is a terrible company. And then they pass it on and pass it on until not only the hundreds of people or thousands that have left from being customers, now they're influencing hundreds or thousands of more people from even ever attempting to be a customer. While Eagle Moss is trying to do everything they can really to try to do to please the customers, I know. So it's just an unfortunate situation. And then also there's the global supply chain issues that we've already talked about. So, there are people out there that don't understand that, you know, they're like, you know, I don't care if there's global supply chain issues, Eagle Moss should have this issue resolved. It's like, well, if there hasn't been a container with your items in the container arriving at our warehouse for us to be able to inventory your item and then mail it to you, you know, what part of we can't mail that to you do you not understand? You know,
well, that's
you
the same
can't
thing
tell
of Circle K.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same thing of Circle K. How come you have this new product that you don't have any of? Well, because it got sold. Well, why don't you have more? you know, the truck has to come in to get more. It sold out faster than we thought it would. You know, a lot of times we don't have control of what's sold, what's brought in, you know. And then there's times when our company just says, oh, hey, by the way, you need to sell this, but we're not going to give you that. We don't have any choice as to what the corporate gives us.
That's right.
So, yeah, I understand. All right, boss, we probably better get back to work now, but, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure I'll get a hold of you again sometime, and, you know, we hope everything gets resolved and that new warehouse comes up and running successfully.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Well, all righty. Well, again, yes, sir, it has been an absolute pleasure, and I would like to thank you very much for your call today, Eagle Moss, and I would ask that if you don't mind that you please hold for a short one-question survey after this call.
Yeah, I'll give you a five.
All right, thank you so much.
You were very pleasant. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You're welcome.
Great day.
All right, you too. Uh-huh. Please hold.